Everybody, welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls today at 1-800-229-3000.
Before I ask my question, I first want to say how much I appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
You know something, I failed as a husband.
I had a question, if I could, please.
Okay.
The rest of it, I just felt like I was kind of getting shined on. So now I get it.
I want to know about your dad, what he was like.
He was an angry person.
That's a big part of your age.
I think having you be a little bit more involved says, I'm a woman and you're doing this to women. This is going to affect your relationship with women. And so for him to feel what that's like in the presence of a woman, I think is important.
Yeah, that was good, Jill.
People with addictive personalities are like boa constrictors.
Well, I just asked, did you play with dynamite when you were a child?
No.
Because this is playing with dynamite. Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard. And well, I'm going to start off the program. We've been featuring Max Lucado the past couple of weeks, his new book, Max on Life. Answering some questions, here is one of those great questions he answers. Here's another question from Max on Life, the new book by Max Lucado. Max, in here you have somebody asking the question a lot of men ask, what is the big deal about pornography? And he goes on to say, why make such a big deal out of what is natural? Some men say they are controlled by pornography. Not me. I can sample without struggling, so that's what I do.
Well, that's just wrong. Yeah. Don't be fooled by this. You're not as strong as you think. You can't always stop when you think you can stop. You really can't play with fire and not get burned. Don't light the match.
Right.
I like this passage in the book of Job. For lust is a shameful sin, a crime that should be punished. Now, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
He calls lust a crime. It's like it's grand larceny. It's thievery.
Yeah.
Really, you're stealing a glance at a woman who has not given you her body. And you're stealing a glance at a woman that God has not entrusted to you. And so this is a pretty serious thing. Listen, just because a woman dresses to lure, you don't have to look. Just because the pictures appear, you don't have to look at them. You can't, as they say, keep a bird from flying over your roof, but you can keep them out of your chimney. I like the phrase, the two-second rule. You give yourself 2 seconds to turn your eyes away. And you can do this with God's help, God's strength, and the encouragement of other people. You can just say, I'm not going to look. I'm not going to engage. I'm going to give myself 2 ticks of the clock to come to my senses and shift my gaze. And I think, Stephen, the principle here is that we will live tomorrow the thoughts that we tolerate today. And if we tolerate thoughts of lust, tolerate thoughts of pornography, we're going to live those out. They're going to sow seeds in our heart that are going to bear fruit of trouble. However, if we sow seeds of faithfulness to our spouse, if we gaze only at her, if we have for her eyes only and her body only covenants that we honor, that's going to bear good fruit. So enjoy the wife of your youth. Delight yourself in the gift that God has given to you, and you will enjoy tomorrow some fruits that you are sowing from the seeds you're sowing today.
Well, that's from a great book by Max Lucado, a friend of ours here at the ministry, Max on Life. And if you call us today, we're going to give you a copy. We'll give it away to you. It's a great book. He really does take on some amazing questions there, some really tough ones, such as, what is appropriate in the bedroom, certain areas? And, I mean, really, he didn't have to take that question or those questions around that area, but he does, and he does a great job of answering them. We're going to take a break. The reason I know that is I hear music, too. We're going to take either I'm going to heaven right now or there's music for a break, one or the other. And I hope it's just a break.
I hope they have something more than the New Life theme when it's time to go home.
You don't like the New Life theme?
I do like it.
Okay.
But I hope they have something more.
All right. A little more glorious.
Yeah. Okay, but anyway, we're going to come back. We'll go right to your phone calls here on New Life Live. If you need some help, we've got about 900 counselors around this country that could help you there. And we've got a New Life weekend coming up. Maybe it's the marriage one, Every Heart Restored, Wives in the Battle, Lose It for Life, Transformation. And then our Every Man's Battle workshop. Every month we do one of those on a weekend. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out about all of that.
Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Milan Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. Out of these ashes, beauty will rise, and we will dance along the way. We will see it. If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and as I said, we'll give away a copy to anybody that calls us today on and gets on the program, Max on Life there. Let's go to Lynn from Tyler, Texas, watches us on FamilyNet. Hello there.
Hi.
How are you?
I'll say I'm okay. I'm not good.
What's going on, Lynn?
I need to know how to get joy back into my life.
What
I
happened?
I pray, and I pray, and I pray, and it's just not coming.
It's not coming?
Nope.
What's the problem?
Well, first of all, I was in an abusive relationship verbally and emotionally for 10 years, and I felt like I was stuck there because I had co-signed for a bunch of stuff that if I had had repoed, they would have added it to what I owed on my car. Forget all that. I got divorced from him, and I had a nervous breakdown because I found out he was with somebody else. And I was like a zombie for 3 years with my nervous breakdown. And then I met another guy, and I knew him for 5 months, and he had a massive heart attack. And I'm not for sure, but I think maybe I had another breakdown. But since that time, well, since the first one, I've got all these medical conditions, and I truly, truly, truly believe that they're all emotionally related.
Okay.
And mainly my question is, I'm on disability. I sit all day in a heating pad. And my main question is, I took out a term life policy on myself, which it runs out on November 1st. Of 2013,
mm-hmm.
And I would love to join the Lord, and my friend Bo, and my mom, and my dad, and grandma, and da-da, I would love to join them all today, because I am unable. I would love to. I went to nurses training to be a geriatric nurse. I love old people, but because of my all these conditions, I'm sitting on a heating pad all day, and I live alone. And to me, life is about companionship, be it a friend or a dog or a cat or, you know, I love a lot of people.
Lynn,
but
Lynn,
you know what I mean? I want to know what you think. Would it be all right? Would the Lord forgive me? Because I have very, very, very vivid dreams. I have lived my life over moment by moment by moment since I was 5 years old. I've been there, done that, and I've done it again. And would it be okay for me to get myself out of here? Because I have enough drugs to do it, and do not think for one moment that I am depressed, because I am not. I just want to leave my daughter something, and I don't want to be sitting in this small garage apartment by myself.
Okay, I think we get the picture, and we're very sad for you that this mm-hmm. is the picture. Tell me about your church.
I watch church on TV. I can't go. I can't go.
But no.
But I grew up a Lutheran.
Okay.
And that's another thing I wondered. You know, Lutheran faith, they baptize you when you're a baby.
Okay, I don't want to talk to you about the Lutheran faith. I want to talk to you about you, okay?
Okay.
You're lonely.
and
beyond
you,
that.
And you are depressed.
You've been through a lot.
You say you're not depressed, but you are depressed because you don't have anything to live for right now, and you're in pain, and you're stuck. You need some people in your life.
Well, I do have people that come by, but I can't get out with them. I really can't go anywhere. I mean, I can't even walk through Walmart because my back hurts so bad. Mm. And it's not that I don't have friends and family that I love and that are here with me, but I want to be, they're all okay. I want to be with the Lord and my friend Bo who died and my folks and my grandparents. And
how old are you, Lynn? How old are you?
I'm 58.
Okay. Well, you know what? There's ways to work on fixing backs so the backs don't hurt so bad. I'm concerned that you're giving up way too quickly. There are a lot of 58 years old out there that are running the Los Angeles Marathon that just went by last weekend. And there's a part of me that wonders if you're, you know, helping yourself stay disabled in this disabled state because you're so despondent and depressed.
I agree with you.
And what I'm saying is, what kind of medical help are you getting for your back? If your back hurts, you do not have to sit there on a heating pad all day long at 58 years old.
Okay. Well, I just went to my doctor yesterday, and she's going to set me up with some pain management and see if I can get some cortisone shots. I'm on Medicaid and disability, so it depends on what they will.
Well, they'll still help you. They'll still help you.
And Lynn, you know, I know that when somebody isn't experiencing the type of chronic pain that you're in, it may feel like it's hard for others to really get it. And I think you're expressing to us that it feels so bad that you can't see any other options. It's either sit there and be miserable or, gosh, let's go to heaven and be with all the people I love. Of course, who wouldn't want to go to heaven?
Right.
But I'm wondering if there isn't something in between. And when we get really narrow in our focus, and pain does that, where you can only see just not even past the pain, we don't see that there are other things that we can do and that maybe this really isn't the end of our rope and this is the pain and the depression speaking.
Yep.
And that's why we want to leave this earth. It's no different than somebody who's in a really severe emotional situation that just wants out of their pain and would like to leave this earth. And so, you know, the thing is, we know that God is the one who gets to choose. So if you're calling, asking us for permission, we can't really give you permission to do that.
Yeah, you ask if it was okay.
No.
Right.
No.
It's not.
It's
okay.
Not.
Three to zero vote.
Three to
no.
zero, not okay.
So it might not be your ideal life. But I wonder if God doesn't have something else for you to do as long as you're still here.
Me too, and I've been praying and praying and praying, but the answer's not coming.
Okay, so you got to do something different. It's like, okay, God, show me what I need to do today that's different. And then if I throw up roadblocks, but I can't do this, but, okay, you're feeling like people don't understand, and yet every time you say, I can't, it's a roadblock.
I understand that too.
Right? So you have to start looking at what can you do, not what can't you do.
Right.
Do y'all have any suggestions?
Well, you know, there are all sorts of things. There are all sorts of things you can do. There are phone calls you can make to help people who are lonely and they need somebody to talk to. There are letters you can write, cards that you can do. You can find something that makes your life valuable, even sitting on a heating pad.
But you can even go, I don't know if you like the computer, you can go online and there are anonymous chat rooms where you can talk about what either you're struggling with or get ideas about things. You need to be somehow connected. And even though you're at home in a chair, you can still connect. And you've got to think outside the box and start thinking of different ways instead of, well, I can't do what I used to do, so therefore there's nothing I can do.
Lynn, I hear a lot of stuff left inside of you that is yet to be lived. You're only 58, okay? And if you really focus on the medical piece and not allow your physical condition to victimize you, I have a feeling as though you may have been in a victim role for many, many years.
Yes.
In more than just a medical condition.
Yeah, the abusive relationship.
The abusive relationship, signing for checks and different things and collateral and all that. Listen, you get a good doctor behind you and a good medical team behind you, and you could have the most sensational second half here. And that's what I'm saying. I hear you are a nice lady. You have a heart to serve other people. You said, I wanted to be involved in geriatrics. Go for that. Don't settle for something that's way underneath your capacities.
So all of this time thinking about, is it okay if I leave this earth, and thinking about that, it's not your time to leave this earth yet. So don't put your energy towards thinking about that. Think about, what are you going to do with the time while you're here?
And I don't blame you. If you do what you're saying that Jill just said, you're not going to stay in your small garage apartment. You're going to be out doing things with people. You can get out with the correct medical attention.
And the right help. So all we need a fire under you instead of a heating pad.
Yep. I want to get your address.
Nice.
I want to send you I want to send you Healing as a Choice. I think it can help you get off of that heating pad.
I think that's a great choice as a book, Steve.
Well, I think you're brilliant then, Mylon. Lucille from Long Island, New York. She also watches on Family Net. Hi there, Lucille.
Hi there, and it's so nice to speak to everybody. I've been watching your program on Family Net for about 3 weeks now, and it's very interesting, and it's very helpful to me.
Thank you, Lucille. How could we help today?
Okay, today I need help.
Okay.
Even though I'm doing pretty good, because God has really blessed me. As of March 21st, I'm ending... let me get it together. I'm ending a marriage of 30 years.
Mm.
And
so sorry.
I'm really sorry, too, because it's like I've been so... well, the question I wanted to know is, like, where do I go from here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's like God just, like, revealed to me today that, you know, I've been so, like... physically abused, mentally abused, and, you know, sexually abused from a young child. That's with brothers and my friend's grandfather molested me when I was younger and didn't really go and tell my mom until I went to counseling when I was like 36. And, you know, my mom and dad, they had issues of their own, so it was like very hard for them to, you know, meet, you know, emotional needs of my brothers and myself. And, you know, and when you're not getting the attention, because I was the only girl, when you're not getting any attention, you just start looking for love in all the wrong places.
Right, yes. Sure.
Even though I was brought up as a good Christian, you know, Catholic girl, you know, it wound up that I wound up having two abortions, you know, in my 20s. And it just got to the point where I could say that, you know, I guess through all the pain, you do things, and it's almost like because of all that abuse, what God's been showing me through all that abuse of all of my life, and with my marriage, it's been the same way for 30 years.
Okay. How can we help you today? What can we do for you today?
Like, I just want to know, like, where do I go from here? Because it's been, like, I was, like, feeling so numb. Feeling like I have disorders.
Let us help you answer the question, where do you go from here? Jill, Mylon, what do you think? Where should she go from here, ending this marriage? And
well, it's a huge change, Lucille, and so it's time to really see, okay, who is in your life? Who do you have around you? Who has been supporting you through this? And drawing those people near to you. And making sure that you're not alone in this. This isn't a time to be alone. This is a time to reach out and let people know what you need. It's also a time to, like you're asking, to think about the next step. And it is just kind of one step at a time. You heal one step at a time. And so what are some things that you can do to help yourself? One might be a divorce recovery group at a church that talks about the aftermath of divorce
and really other
people who are going through it, who don't tire of hearing about, you know, every trip to the lawyer or what. ever you've got going on. Mm-hmm. So adding some of those things in that are stage, you know, kind of appropriate with where you're at.
Well, right now I don't have my mom and my dad. I don't. My brothers are all out of state, and they're into their own life.
Okay, but friends.
I've gone to
friends.
Church. Excuse me?
You need friends.
Yeah, and it's like I have one friend that I talk to. I've been in churches. I'm not in a church right now, and I'm trying to find a church on the island, but a lot of people do not. I was trying to go to divorce care, but being that
yes.
I have my other daughter, she's two girls. She's 21, but she has Down syndrome.
Lucille?
So I am her sole caretaker.
Lucille?
For her.
Maybe you need to broaden the search just a little bit from divorce mm-hmm. care to grief recovery, because there's a huge history of loss in your
yes.
life, and this is sort of the capstone. And you could sort of get in there, process that, a processing mm-hmm. group, and make that a part of your new family.
Okay. Healing is a choice coming your way. I'm glad that you called. We'll be back after this.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our eating disorder treatment clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, and let's go over here and talk with Linda from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Linda, welcome to New Life Live.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
How can we help today?
My question is, my marriage is on the rocks, and I've been living with my sister for the past 6 or 7 weeks, and should I move back home? And if yes, what do I do when I get there? I want to do this God's way. It's very important to me that I save my marriage and that okay. I do it the way God wants me to do it.
How old are you?
42.
Are there children?
No.
And how long have you
and
been
I'm
married?
I'm a Christian, and he is not.
How long have you been married?
We've been together 9 years. We've been married for a year and a half.
Year and a half. So what happened when you got married that after all that time made it such a bad situation?
Well, a couple things are going on. One is he's an alcoholic, and a few months after we got married, his drinking just really escalated, and the past year it has been a nightmare in my house.
Well, weren't you able to love him?
Yeah, 9 years.
Weren't you able to love him enough to fix that drinking thing?
No, I was not.
Did you think that that might get, once you were married, things might get better?
No, I didn't think that they would get drop off a cliff.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's what happens, though. I think a lot of times, even for nine years,
or
eight, 7.5, a guy holds on. He doesn't lose control. And then once he's, you know, feels like, okay, I got somebody to take care of me, boom, it's over. They just lose control.
Well, I guess that's what happened. It came to a head in the fall, and he actually went to rehab in January, a couple months ago. And he has drank a couple times since he's been home. Mm-hmm. In general,
so
though,
was there Linda, was there a plan for after rehab if he drank again?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, there's supposed to be a plan, but he is not participating in any kind of plan. And he arrived home, and I moved out 4 days later. His attitude was awful. He's an extremely angry, belligerent, uncooperative man.
Of course it was.
Why do you say of course?
Yeah, why?
Because his coping mechanism was taken away for taking away all his pain. He can't medicate himself every day.
In general, he's that way anyway, even on days that he was sober, because he had been trying to stop drinking for the past year.
Okay.
So there were a few days, a week at a time, where he wouldn't be drinking, but he's just a very angry...
Linda, we get the picture. So the question, you ask us a question. What do I? You got the award, by the way, for asking the quickest question for the day.
Yay, Linda!
Oh, thanks.
What should I do then? And Jill, what would you say as a start?
Well, it sounds like you moved out to set a boundary. Is that correct?
I did. And can I just briefly say one quick thing about that? I spoke to my pastor about this very thing that we're talking about, and he referred me to, there's an addictions meeting at our church, and the head of that, this really nice guy, said to me, you know, you could use this as a way to kind of get him in here. You could kind of say, look, I'd really like to move back home, but I'd be more comfortable with that decision if you'd at least talk to this guy. He wants to talk to my husband and maybe attend the weekly meeting, because he's not attending anything. He's not doing anything.
Well,
he is in individual counseling once a week, but other than that, there's no support for his drinking. So I sent that to my husband. He agreed to talk to the guy, but it's been about 3 weeks now, and the ball's in his court. He has to call this guy. The guy's not going to call him. So
okay, so Linda,
I'm kind of in limbo. I'm not sure what to do now.
Linda, I just need for you to stay quiet for one sec. We got the picture, and let's just hear what some answers are. What do you think, Jill?
Sure.
So Linda, not only did he not have a plan, but it sounds like you haven't had much of a plan, although I like that you've gone and talked to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, to use this as, okay, now it's time to establish a criteria of what you need in order to move back home. So to list some things, like he must be involved in more than individual counseling. The two of you must be involved in counseling together so that...
You are.
Okay.
Yeah, we just started last week. Emotion-focused therapy is supposed to be better for us.
Good.
Perfect.
That's good.
But in that, then you can come up with a plan so that it's not just you waiting and waiting for this guy that doesn't know how to cope to suddenly start to cope.
Right? Here is what to do in your next counseling session. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
I would like to move back home, you say to the counselor.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to move back. It would be more acceptable, but I will not move back home until Bob, or whatever his name is. Is his name Bob?
No.
Okay. Well,
until Bob.
Bob.
We can call him that, though.
Okay. Until Bob is willing to go to a meeting at least once a week. I'm going to go to Al-Anon. He needs to go to AA. And he commits to that meeting every week and to work the steps in that meeting. And then we commit that we're going to come here. And after he has made that commitment, and he has followed through with it for 8 weeks, that's when I move home.
Wow, really?
And then you hope that during that 8 weeks, a major breakthrough begins to happen into his denial and all, because he's exposed to these folks at the recovery meetings. Uh-huh. But you need to be going to Al-Anon.
Okay?
And maybe even more than once a week.
Yeah.
There needs to be some kind of accountability, counseling or meeting several times a week.
And
no,
the
what
next
if
time,
do it? Wait.
One step at a time.
Yeah. So you see if he'll do it, and then the separation continues, and then you continue to work with your therapist on what is the next thing.
Okay.
That's where you can talk about what is his resistance and all of that.
Now, when we come back, I'll just refer off the... Well, anyway, I want to talk about when somebody says, I want to meet with your husband, what is a better thing to do than what happened? We'll do that right after this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and many of you know just how important Club New Life is to us. And I've got Ed on the line, Club New Life member since 05. Ed, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon, Steve. Glad to be on the radio with you.
Thank you. Tell us why you like being a part of Club New Life, if you do, and if you don't like being part of Club New Life, tell us why you're still a member.
Well, just... I'm still a member because I had, you know, we're all born into a fallen world, and even though coming to get saved, you know, there's always some deficits, you know, and it is an instantaneous whomp in the head. And what I get out of New Life and the phenomenal co-hosts and the resources I get help me on a continual basis in my path of growth and getting to know Christ better and relating to people. So I'm a member because cool. I believe in it so much that I want to also help other people get what I have.
Thank you for that. What do you say to somebody who's just, you know, they've been thinking about supporting the ministry but just never have picked up the phone and called 1-800-NEW-LIFE?
You know, if you really believe Jesus or who he said he is, you just can't outgive God, first of all. But I give because I get so much, you know. And I just pray that conviction falls on people and the Holy Spirit just speaks to them to rise up and give and just be obedient. You know, I don't care if whatever level God speaks to you, just do it.
Yeah.
You know, just like he told Mother Mary, you know, whatever he says to do, do it when they were making the water of the wine. And I just, you know, and that's the blessing that comes back, because I don't look at what I get out of New Life, the resources that you give, the side benefits that come. I know what I personally get, and I also refer many people that I come across, knowing what my own need was, to the resources on New Life and to also the resources that your co-hosts also offer through their website.
Well, Ed, thank you for that. I hope and pray somebody hears it. It inspires them to give. We really do need folks' support, and God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you down the road.
Take care. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Ed.
Thanks, Ed. Well, you know, we've got so many folks like him, so dedicated, so committed, and we're so grateful. If you are interested at all in supporting a ministry that loves to see people change dramatically, please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go to Debbie, who's calling from Las Vegas, Nevada. She listens on iPod. Hello, Debbie.
Hi there.
Hi. How could we help you today?
Thank you. I'm excited to get through to talk to the three of you. My question is, how can my husband and I have an honest, loving relationship with our 19-year-old daughter, who right now feels like we see her differently, and she's missing her family. She's written us a letter, and she says that she has been away at school, and she says she feels like our conversations are fake and superficial, and like we're talking to her because we have to.
Mm-hmm.
And she can't say things.
Okay,
honestly.
So what's different? What's the big influence here that's causing all this?
The big influence for us is that she's living with a married man.
Okay, yeah.
The big influence for us is that when I talked to you about 6 months ago about financial support and how we should proceed with this, knowing that this relationship was there, you suggested that we pull all the financial support for her to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And we did mostly. We had paid in advance to school for her next semester, and now that we've pulled the plug on everything, she'll probably be leaving school.
And she's moved in with a 33-year-old married man.
Right, and this used to be her soccer coach.
Oh,
I remember this phone call.
Yeah. Wow.
So he followed her up there, according to her, at her request.
Okay. And has your husband had any discussion with this soccer coach that's living with his daughter? What is that? How did that go?
Yeah, we when they came back into town, the four of us sat down. So they're, they're fully aware of how wrong we think this is. They know that.
Well, and he's married, so where's his wife?
She's still here in the town that we live in.
Okay, so they're separated?
Yes.
Okay.
Does he have children?
No.
Okay.
No.
So sorry.
Mm. So
yeah, I'm sorry for her. I'm sorry that.
Debbie, we've had over the years not family member like you have, but we've had friends who have taken dramatic steps outside of the will of God and it has made the relationship very, very strained. And I think some of the idealism that maybe your question originally had, how can we have really honest conversations, or your daughter feeling as though I want to have a conversation that is more meaningful and deep. It's sometimes impossible to have that kind of a conversation when somebody is blatantly doing such a strong maneuver that they know will elicit reaction from the family and community around them. And then they wonder, why can't I just be accepted here? And I think there is, it's a question that you may simply have to say, it's never going to have an ideal, great conversation as long as she stays in this, although we will do our best, but it's just not going to be as warm and fuzzy had she been doing the right thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And just accept it at that level. I do remember your call, Debbie, and I'm so sorry that this has to occur. And since they're non-repentant and they're not trying to change, I think really you have to be honest with your daughter and say, so what else do you expect? You know, do you expect us to just support whatever decision you make? Is that what you expect?
Yeah. What is she wanting?
Yeah.
She's been very clear about what she wants. She wants us to be proud of her. She wants us to support her decisions and to realize that she's happy doing what she wants to do and that she's happy with her choices. I mean,
sure. That's
in black and white what she wants of us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, so she wants that ideal picture.
Right. And we have, actually, I thought we were doing pretty well by having conversations and having this man's name come up in conversations and not falling apart.
Right. Well, and Debbie, she really is asking you to not treat her like an adult. You know, when she was young, you know, and she would like draw a picture at school and you go, oh, that's so wonderful. And everything they do is so wonderful. But at a certain age, you start to get a little more discriminating and, you know, tell you're more honest with them, as you were saying. And you tell them, no, this is a great choice. Well, no, this wasn't such a great choice. And they start to be able to kind of metabolize that kind of feedback. And she's not wanting to do that.
Yeah.
You know, so she's blinded by her sin.
And her youthful idealism.
And her, yes, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah. I love that, Jill. That is a great insight. She doesn't want to be treated like an adult. She wants to be treated like the little girl that says, oh, that's wonderful. Oh,
yeah,
that's wonderful. Oh, that's wonderful.
Everything you do is just great. You
now,
know?
Do you think that, Debbie, you have contributed to this all good picture of your daughter or your husband? And she doesn't see any bad inside
goodness.
Herself.
I couldn't deny that. I definitely can't deny that.
So then maybe Jill's on to a really important place where you could sit down with your daughter and say, you know, I gave you a line for 19 years that you're absolutely wonderful. You can walk on water almost. And now all of a sudden, I'm not sure you can hear that that's not true anymore.
Right. She can't tolerate that, seeing the other side of her.
Which is to be adult.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, has your husband, as it really is, has your husband had a private conversation with this 31-year-old man?
33-year-old. Had a, actually, I don't think he has.
Well, I think that's an important part to this, is that he needs to ask this man if he would have lunch with him, or breakfast or dinner.
They live... I mean, they're in Canada.
So? I don't care.
Nevada.
It's your daughter.
Okay.
So you say, I would like to fly up there and I would like to have lunch with you. Will you meet with me if I fly up there and have lunch with you?
Actually, I'm a little concerned about my husband having a private lunch with this man.
Because what?
Because I know my husband's very angry with this man.
Great. Mm. That makes it even better.
Well...
Because, you know, I would hope that your husband would say to this man things that would scare this man and make this man not think this was such a good idea.
Right. He told this man that he had stolen something from him that that was not his. And so that was in the context of the four of us meeting.
And Debbie, while all that's true, at this particular point in time, she's 19 years old, she's a legal adult, and she can do anything she wants to do.
Yeah.
That's the reality.
I would just...
That's the legal reality. She's not 17 or 16 here.
And so you try to have your husband go talk to him and to appeal to him and try to help him see what is really happening in the relationship. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery, and it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My friends at New Life want to help you find healing and restoration based on God's truth. They have a workshop to help men who are stuck in the entanglement of pornography. They have another for both men and women to deal with any issue you might be facing, anger, depression, grief, or whatever you're struggling with, they can help you. Or if you know someone fighting an addiction to drugs or alcohol, they offer a Christian treatment program. And if you know someone struggling with an eating disorder, They can help you there too. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans about the transformation that comes through the renewing of your mind. It's God's Holy Spirit that makes this happen, and He's working through this ministry at New Life. Call today and see how you can experience that for yourself. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right. We're back. Mylon, you wanted to make a really important point to her before we go.
Well, Debbie, are you still there?
I am.
I think it's important that you realize you do have an adult daughter here, but I think what Jill was saying...
Even though she's not acting like one.
Even though she's not acting like one, legally, they are on their own. There's nothing we can do about it. But what you can protest is the fact that you want us to treat you like you've done nothing wrong. And I think what I would say to my daughter would be, look, my adult friends, I don't make close friends with people who steal other people's spouses. That's not going to be my ideal for a close adult friend. So if you want to be an adult, if you want to have a relationship with me, Mom, Debbie, I need to you to understand that's not how I would pick an adult friend. That's not my first choice. And Las Vegas is filled with people who are picking other people's spouses, and that's what in some cases goes on there. I don't pick those people for my close friends.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I tell you, I feel for you. It's tough, and I would encourage you and your husband to get some regular counsel with somebody to help you, because most likely you're going to turn against each other in this whole conflict and blame each other, and all sorts of things happen there. But you need some good guidance on an ongoing basis on how to handle this child. I'm going to send you How We Love, and I hope that will be helpful to you. And our final caller is going to be Blondell from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Hello, Blondell. How are you?
I'm doing good.
How could we help you today?
I'm a recurring caller. This is like my third time.
Well, welcome back.
My husband attended the New Life Every Man's Battle workshop. I attended Every Heart Restored. We're 7 years out of, me finding out that he had a sex addiction problem because he's had multiple affairs.
Right.
And he went to counseling with me 4 times. He never did anything that he was supposed to do. I even had surgery, and he left the hospital right as I'm being prompt to go into surgery without even telling me he was leaving the hospital. So I just see a pattern there with him, and he says he loves me and that he wants the marriage, but
okay, so
I don't see him doing anything to change.
All right. When he came back, did he get involved with a support group of some kind?
We went to Celebrate. The advice you gave me was to go to Celebrate Recovery. He only did that if I reminded him and we went together as a family.
He didn't,
anything independent of me. He even went to counseling with me for 4 sessions.
Okay.
But anything independent of me, he didn't do that. He did see a psychiatrist, but I was in the dark about what happened during that time.
So are you saying he never really got on track, or that he just...
He never owned his recovery.
Right. He didn't even keep in touch with the people that email him for the support. In October, he was scheduled to redeploy because he is military, so he's not here in the country at the moment. But 2 weeks prior to him being out, we were at a military family function, and he gave a security guard his phone number, and they were texting each other every day nonstop for 2 weeks before he deployed, so he relapsed.
Okay.
So my question is, where do I go from here?
Yeah. Well, you need to ask him when he comes back, that he needs to go back to Every Man's Battle, and he needs to own his recovery, as Jill said. And in the meantime, you need to ask him to go and talk with his chaplain about what he's done before he left over here.
Okay.
I mean, he went through the motions.
Like I'm tired of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't think I could separate? He's not here.
You
now,
are separated.
I mean, after all of this, it's 7 years.
You are separated, and you can say to him, if you want to come back home to me, here are some things that need to happen. Mylon, your thoughts?
Do you have children, Blondell?
Yes, I have 2 girls. He left and went and lived with the other woman. When my 7-year-old was 6 months, she's 7 now. She was 6 months old going through this. Now, there's been 2 deployments before this one, so this is his 3rd.
Okay, Blondell.
And I have a 14-year-old.
Okay.
She was 7 when it started.
Okay. So, really, what you have to decide, you have to make a decision all by yourself. What do I require of a husband?
Right.
And when he comes back, maybe he comes back to the United States, and you say, before you move back in, find yourself a place to live on base or find yourself a place to live. And before you can move back in, I need to know that you are serious about this journey of being sober with respect to your thought life and being able to control yourself, because I want to be married to a man who respects me as a person and respects our daughters in such a way that they are a model to them, and you need to prove to me that you want to come back. And I would just leave it open-ended like that, but I would create some sort of a stronger boundary like that, because that's such a flagrant thing for him to do. It's
sure
so
is.
In your face that I'm flirtatious
Absolutely.
With this female security guard and I'm texting. That is such a disrespectful thing to do to a spouse. And if she
and
does,
when I asked him what he was talking to her about, he kept saying he didn't know, he didn't know. And the whole 2 weeks,
oh, that's baloney. That's baloney.
Yep.
Of course he knows.
Yep. All right. Well, I'm sorry you're going through this, but I tell you, anytime somebody goes to every man's battle with all of the great things that happen there, and they come back and they don't put the things in place that they're told, and it is a rather comprehensive plan that they're supposed to fall into. The sustained victory group. They're on the phone. They should be in a little small group. Maybe they go to Sex Addicts Anonymous meeting, certainly to a recovery meeting on their own, and then counseling for the two of you. That doesn't happen.
Recovery isn't a shot. It's an ongoing process. It's a change of life,
right.
And you live differently.
That's right. All right. Well, I'm sorry, and I hope something we've said is said. Let me send you Mylon's book, How We Love, and I think you'll see yourself. I think you'll see him there, and hopefully before he comes back you'll have some criteria there that you will lay down for him. We're out of time, aren't we? We're going to Israel June the 6th. Come join us June 6th through 16th. We'd love to have you there. And all the things that we do, we've talked about them on the program. We really do want to help you. And we can if you'll call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Mylon, scripture as we close out the program today, what did you have on your heart today?
The Bible says to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ. All of us have childlike places inside of us that need to grow up.
Yeah.
Not one person doesn't. So the job of the church is to help us find those places that are immature and to grow up until they more resemble the person of Christ. That's found in Ephesians 4. It just says we can't just accept the Lord and sit still. We have to be working for a lifetime to find the areas that are weak and choose to shore them up and get strong and not live life in a weakened state.
Amen. All right, if you're struggling, we really do want to help you, and you can find that help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Help to grow up in some area of your life. But we need your help, and if you can, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Perhaps you could join Club New Life, and we'll send you a Life Recovery Bible if you do. Perhaps you could make a one-time gift. If you will make a one-time gift of $50 or more, we'll send you an Every Man's Bible or a Life Recovery Bible as our way of saying thank you. It really does make such a difference when you support us. We're doing better than we've ever done, and we're still behind. So please come alongside us and help us if you possibly can. God loves a cheerful giver. And if this is the kind of ministry that really makes you feel great, then I hope you'll respond and support us. So have a great day on this great Holy Week, and honor God, and we'll see you here next time on New Life Live. Bye. Thanks, Jill. Thanks, Mylon. God bless you, too.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.